The following podcast has been recorded under the influence of alcohol. While not intentionally offensive, things are said, feelings may be hurt, and so not given. Clearly, it's the beer's fault.
The Good Beer Bad Movie Night Podcast.
Welcome to episode 70 of Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, the podcast dedicated to movies of questionable quality and the frosty adult beverages that help make them tolerable. Good evening. My name is Pete, and tonight's feature presentation is not my fault. It is from 1983, and it is The Beastmaster. This is this is Dave's birthday month, so he selected Beastmaster.
Oh,
so
no.
Dave is going to start off with the 6-minute synopsis, where he takes 6 minutes to summarize the film. And we're going to take a short break, come back with this evening's choice of beverage, which will lead into our discussion of this film. Finally, we're going to wrap up the evening with our 6-pack rating and let you know just how drunk you need to be to enjoy this movie. Once again, my name is Pete. Dave, happy birthday.
Thank you, Pete. I'm so happy. Or am I?
I don't know. There's such mixed emotions about this film.
I do have mixed emotions.
Yeah, right. Troy's with us too. How you doing, bud?
My emotions are clear and free.
Ignore him.
We've got Kathleen with us also. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello. I love the hat. We're going to get to that later.
Oh, yes. This is my official podcasting hat my friend made for me that has our Good Beer Bad Movie Night logo on the front. And on the back, it appropriately says, ew.
We'll have to take photos of that and post it on the socials. And with us...
Yes, I brought a special guest.
We have a special guest. Wasn't expecting this. But here it is, and here we are. We have Millie.
Hello. Hi.
Hello, Millificent.
Hello, Pete.
Millificent.
I'm Troy and Kathleen's daughter.
Yes, you are. Welcome to the podcast. You were very funny in Kathleen's notes, so we thought we'd ask you... along for this journey today.
Yeah.
You get juice boxes, not beers today.
Yeah, I'm 13. I think it would be illegal if you gave me beer.
Mm.
All of us would get arrested.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
No.
Well, welcome to the podcast, Millie. It's wonderful that you're finally here with us.
It's wonderful to be here, Pete. Or is it? Because I had to watch Beastmaster.
You didn't have to watch Beastmaster. Yep. Yeah, that was a...
It's true. Of all the people in this room, you are the one who did not have to watch Beastmaster.
It's true. You chose to watch this.
I didn't have to slam my hand in the car door.
Yeah, I put it there right before I closed it real hard.
Yeah.
So anyway, like I said... Do I have to
drink my own urine?
Right.
No, it's sterile and I like the taste.
God.
Sorry.
It has begun. All right, so let's get this going, man. Dave's going to do our 6-minute synopsis. Kathleen, do you have a sound for us? Is it a scary sound?
Oh, an alarm sound.
Yes, an alarming sound.
Hey.
There you go.
Alarm.
Okay.
Snap.
I didn't get it.
I need to record that and keep it on my phone. Just a little alarm noise. That would make me laugh really hard.
All right, gang. Dave, go ahead. Hit it when you're ready.
Okay, give me a count.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
Open on head ugly bitch Mayax, high priest of Ar, a deity who's evidently demands child sacrifices. Mayax's coven of ugly priest bitches stand huddled around a cauldron watching the queen's face. They prophesize Mayax dying at the hands of King Zed's unborn son. Then, of course, enter King Zed and his bodyguard Seth, played by John Amos. King Zed's like, you're not sacrificing any more kids. I'm going to kick you out of Aro so you can fuck off to the land of the outlands with the barbarian Juns. And Mayax is like, nah, dude, I'm going to sacrifice kids. And the next one is yours. I'm going to cut it out of your wife. And King Zed's like, no, fuck you, and as Mayax escorted away. And that night, one of Mayax's ugly priestess bitches enters the king's inexplicably unguarded sleeping chamber with a cow. She performs some ritual involving glowing blue liquid, and the queen's unborn baby is magically transferred into the cow while the king watches magically paralyzed. Ugly bitch takes her cow and fucks off to the woods, where she cuts the baby from the poor cow. She brands the baby's hand and presumably prepares it for some nutty ritual sacrifice when a man happens upon the grisly scene. A dumb fight ensues, and with a sword and the kappa, a dumb collapsible throwing implement, he dispatches the witch. He takes the newborn cow baby to his village of Emer, where the buildings are on stilts and nobody wears clothes 5 inches above the knee. Flash to a young cow baby Dar with his father while sparring with sword and kappa. He learns he can communicate with animals, but not soon enough to prevent a villager from getting mauled by a bear, unfortunately. Dar's like, Dad is like, Dar, you're special because you can talk to animals and shit. And Dar's like, yeah. So, flash forward to Dar as a grown man, happily doing farming and stuff with his wolf companion when, oh shit, Jun barbarians, invaders are coming. He rushes back to the village, but it was too late. Try as he might, the Jun horde, accompanied by Mayax and his ugly priests, massacres the stupid villagers and knocks Dar unconscious. Wolf friend pulls him to safety, but is mortally wounded in the process. While unconscious, Dar has visions of seeing through the eyes of an eagle. He wakes to see wolf friend died. Aww. But eagle friend arrived. Yay! He surveys the ruins of his stupid village and is like, well, shit, guess I should get naked and burn everyone. He piles the corpses, including dad and wolf friend, into geometric shapes and torches them. Now wearing only a leather skirt, his dead father's voice echoes in his head, take my sword and kappa and go dick around in the desert. So Dar fucks off to the desert and practices sweet moves his father taught him, which evidently involves swinging a branch around Nevada's beautiful Valley of Fire State Park as he prepares to go after Mayax and the Juns. His branch training is interrupted by thieving ferrets, luring Dar into a mud pit in the middle of an arid desert. Of course, Dar, being Mr. Animal Talkie, gets the ferrets to help him out, and boop, ferrets become ferret friends, and Kodo and Podo. Just then, Eagle Friend shows Dar that there's some assholes and ugly priests tormenting a black tiger nearby. Dar, ferret friends, and Eagle Friend dispatch the assholes and priest, and boop, tiger friend. Dar's like, sweet, I can see through all your eyes, and they all piss off together in slow motion. Later, our stupid little menagerie happens upon Topless Bathing Lake, where they encounter topless bathers, among whom is Kiri, played by topless Tanya Roberts. After untoplessing herself, Dar uses tiger friend as a prop and is like, hey, topless, I'll protect you from the tiger if you make out with me. And she's like, fuck you, and knocks him down. They take turns knocking each other down while introducing themselves. Kiri's like, I'm a slave to the priest bitches of R, and Dar's like, nah, it's messed up, I'll protect you. And she's like, nah, they'll kill my family, and pisses off. And Dar's like, whoa, she's hot, oh well. And during the dumb rolling around, Kiri's necklace falls off, which will become important later. That evening, Dar happens upon a big tree laden with big glowing pots, some asshole spinning it in a cage, and some big eagle shrine, and a big bubbling cauldron full of dead guys. Dar is like, shit, I better go, but uh-oh. He's surrounded by these tall creatures with big leathery wings folded across their chests that make them look like a big bunch of monster penises. He frees the caged asshole, who makes a break for it, but promptly gets enveloped by the wings of one of the penis guys. I don't know if the wing guy eats him or dissolves him or melts him, but the wings flap open and nothing but bones remains. They almost get Dar, but back off when Dar's like, no, look, I have eagle friend. And they're like, oh, cool, here's an eagle medallion. Now piss off. Finally, Dar arrives at a crude miniature of a city that I guess is supposed to be Aro's. A walled city with a bubbling tar moat and a big flaming pyramid at the center. Disguised, he goes to the pyramid, atop which Mayax chucks a kid into the fire. Is like, Arr, watch your kids! Dar rescues a second kid vis-a-vis an eagle before Mayax can kill him, and Mayax is like, oh yeah, that's supposed to happen, but inside he's like, Arr, and gives Dar a stank eye. Later that night, Dar returns the rescued kid to the grateful man, Sako, and Dar's like, sup with these hot priest chicks? And Sako's like, oh, they're gonna die, plus King Zed's in prison in the pyramid, and Dar's like, oh, drag, and goes after the Juns to rescue Kiri. Meanwhile, back at the pyramid, Mayax is like, go kill Dar. Take this eyeball ring. I'll use it to watch you. We'll kill him. And they ambush and attempt to strangle Dar, despite several opportunities to kill him more quickly in a number of ways. During the fray, Dar, an animal friend, kills priest bitches assisted by Seth and the Kingsguard, and Tal, the younger son of Zed, who I guess makes him Dar's brother. Anyway, at some point, the ferrets take the eyeball ring, I guess. They're all like, yeah, let's be friends. And later that night, Dar's like, hey, want some of this stuff my ferret stole? And give Tal the eyeball ring. While helping themselves to Dar's stuff, they see Dar as Kiri's necklace. And they're like, hey, dude, that's my cousin.
1 minute.
And suddenly, half-naked wrestling earlier gets a lot more gross. Later, the three of them save Kiri's big boobs in a big stupid fight and escape by boat in some really inappropriate contact happens between Dar and Kiri. And I'm tired of doing the synopsis, so I'm going to go full speed boat. Seth is like, I'm going to find more bad guys. You go rescue the king. So Dar, Prince Tal, and his hot cousin sneak into the temple at Aras, evading super cool death guards, and at some point learning that Kiri's some kind of warrior princess, but who fucking cares at this point? They find King Zed alive, but with his eyes cut out. Mayax saw through all their plan through his eyeball ring. He's like, ha, caught you. But Dar's like, nuh-uh, and they bust out. And Kiri and Tal sneaks King Zed through some needlessly elaborate passage blocked by a huge stone skull. But somehow, Kiri comes back without moving the skull, and I'm starting to wonder why I liked this movie as a kid. Anyway, they escaped and regroup with Seth and the rest of their asshole brigade, and King Zed's like, we need to attack, and Dar's like, no, that's dumb. And Zed's like, no, fuck you, Dr. Little. And Dar's like, fine, leaves, with crying big manly baby tears. And so, of course, King Zed's attack fails, and they all capture to be taken to the pyramid and get chucked in the fire or whatever, and then Sako finds Dar and is like, you gotta help. And Dar's like, alright. And Dar comes back and frees the assholes and kills the priest. But before he can kill Mayax, Mayax is like, hey, Zed, Dar's your kid. And Zed's like, what? And Mayax stabs him. And Dar's like, wait, what? And Mayax is like, ah. And then Dar totally kills him. And everyone's like, yay. But then someone's like, dude, the Juns are back. And everybody's like, shit. And Dar remembers, wait, what about those penis guys? Send the eagle friend off with a eagle token to go get him. The Jun come out and there's a stupid fight. And Dar kills the Jun leader, but they're all still overwhelmed. And it looks like all is lost. But boom, penis guys show up and gobble up all the Jun. And everybody's like, gross, but yay. And then the next day, Seth's like, Dar, you're the king now. But Dar's like, nah, I got more beast mastering to do, and pisses off with his animal friends. But Kiri's like, nah, cousin, I'm gonna come with you. And they make out and gross and end.
6 minutes 42 seconds.
You went over.
I did.
Oh, 12 seconds. That's rough.
42 seconds.
No, you get 30 seconds on either side of 6 minutes.
Grace period. Either side of 6 minutes. Six grace period.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get exactly 6 minutes. Should try it sometime.
I mean, I do it all the time.
You do not.
What in the world is happening?
All right, this might have been a mistake.
He's ignoring us over there on his phone. Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm thinking about the song that I have to sing.
Yes.
You have to sing a song?
No.
Yes.
No? Yes.
You get to sing a song?
No. Part of a song.
Sing the song.
We've been on kind of a Queen thing lately, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't sing that high.
Flash Gordon.
Ah!
All right.
Let's hear it. Beast Master! Gave birth by cesarean.
I don't know.
All right. We're ready when you are.
I don't know what the song is. I have the lyrics here, and then I deleted them accidentally.
Oh, no.
That's what I was messing around with my phone for.
Oh, I see.
I'll never be your beastmaster of burden.
Oh. It's actually going to be what was it? The Queen song?
Back to strong, my cousin's Kieran.
What's a dumb song that I should sing?
ABCDs. Sing.
I would have gotten the song just by A, B, and C, but... The D was actually helpful in narrowing it down.
It's ABC, Dave.
ABCR. No! Poop!
It's your birthday. You could sing happy birthday to yourself.
Oh.
Happy birthday.
That's what I did.
To me. Happy birthday to me. And the Beastmaster's born from a cow and made out with his cousin.
Ew.
And many more. Yeah.
Beastmaster's got a Beastmaster. That was my song.
Right. Oh, okay. That'll be an interesting right. Edit. Okay, so with Dave's song over, we can now finally go get a beer.
Yay.
Because I need a beer. Or another beer, I should say.
Beer.
Okay, beer.
Beer.
We'll be back.
Hey everyone, this is Joshua Milrad, King Tal from the original Beastmaster film, telling you to check out Give Me Back My Action Movies.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
I do not want my parenting card revoked, so I want to make sure that... all of the listener understand that Millie is not here for the duration of the episode. She, for aww, the first time in Good Beer, Bad Movie Night history, did watch the movie,
yes,
with us.
I've seen a movie with you before, but Grumpy Cat Christmas.
Oh,
okay. I'm sorry. I tend to block that out completely.
Why?
So,
because it's terrible.
Repeat the title of the movie.
Grumpy Cat Christmas.
That's why.
I liked it, Millie.
I liked it too.
I'm on your side. You have good taste.
Strengthening my argument for why I blocked it out, but that's fine. So at any rate, what I ended up doing was instead of taking my normal notes through the entire episode, what I did was
I took abnormal notes.
I just wrote down all the insane shit that my kid said during the movie, which actually kind of made the movie more enjoyable for me, if I'm being fully honest. So
just that funny.
Sometimes, yes, that's true.
And as you unsay, you unsay.
I what? Try that one again.
That was hilarious. Yeah. Oh.
And as you say, usually unintentionally.
Unintentionally, that's right. You are one of my favorite unintentionally humorous people
that's
out there.
Me.
Yes, Dad is my other favorite unintentionally humorous person. But this time you were trying, I don't know how much you were trying to be funny and how much you were just genuinely reacting to the movie, and the shit you said was hilarious. So with that being said, I have compiled a top five list of the best things that Millie said during the course of the movie. So are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So number five.
What kind of name is Rip?
Number four.
She's not wrong.
No. His name is
I'm sorry, I didn't realize that before we started this list, I needed to tell you to turn the volume down, dear listener, or to pull over to the side of the road if you're driving in your car. Okay. Less screaming, crazy girl.
Fine.
Number three.
It's Tarzan, but with rocks and a big stick and eagles to make him more American.
That one generally cracks me up, especially because she said it like authentically. She said, "American." Number two.
Oh no, are we getting embarrassed?
Uh-oh.
Okay. Why does this guy have shirt wrinkles on his?
So you got to say that again. I didn't catch that.
Oh yeah, that was a hot mess.
Why does he have shirt wrinkles on his skin?
To which her dad replied, no, those are muscles.
I understand why you might be confused. That's not something you normally see in this household.
Okay.
Ouch, man.
And the number
rough.
One.
How do you fold your shorts? Oh, shirts. Sorry,
shirts.
The number one most hilarious thing that Millie said during the course of watching this movie.
Okay. Look out, sir. She impregnates innocent cows.
That was the point where I was like, oh, yeah, I'm just writing down everything she says. We even paused the movie at one point, and she, like, had to go, like, she went and took dishes upstairs. And I was like, you're coming back, right? She was like, oh. I was like, yeah, right? Yeah, you're coming back, right?
You're committed now.
Because all I was thinking was, please don't make me have to watch the rest of this movie, because I've got great shtick now. So
you're welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay,
so
I should probably go so you don't lose your parenting license.
Correct. That's
okay. Very true. Goodbye, listener. Single listener.
Yeah, that jarring noise that you just heard was her banging her head on the microphone stand.
And proof once more of the unintentional humor that we have.
Why?
By having to live with this child.
Bye. Try not to brain yourself with any more mic stands on the way up.
All right, now that my kid is out of the room, give me a beer.
Let's get some drinking going.
Give me a second here, and
thank you. Oh. Dave, what have you? What'd you bring for us today?
I can only do one thing at a time.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I threw it back out.
Yeah, you need to stretch out those shirt wrinkles there some more. Skin wrinkles some more there.
Skin wrinkles. Oh my god.
Okay.
It was.
Oh my god!
So funny.
Skin wrinkles. What are you talking? Oh,
she's literally talking about like the defined abs that he has.
Yeah, sure.
Why does he have shirt wrinkles on his skin?
Has she never seen a bodybuilder before? I come over all the time. I'm a sexy motherfucker.
Yes, but with your shirt on.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Again, parenting license.
You guys
I mean,
doing?
No.
Yes. Before you all come over, could you make sure that you're in various states of undress?
The most access that she would have had.
Yeah, but I don't think he took his. It's a Marvel movie. He wouldn't have taken his shirt off.
Oh, he takes his shirt off all the time.
Does he?
Oh, what? Yeah. Like there was a scene in the last one where his clothes got totally ripped off.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. Yeah.
That's
and,
right.
Like,
you're
the
right.
All like, ah, and they and collapse then
when faint. When he's in front of Zeus.
Very funny.
Oh, right.
It's
yes.
Very, very funny.
Yes. I forgot about that.
I did not forget about that, because when that happened, I'm like, that guy's a dick.
Just making us look bad now.
It's not fair.
Well, this beer is yummy.
Yes, this is Third Eye Brewing Company's Untapped Potential. This is out of Cincinnati, Ohio. This is a Kolsch.
This is Cincinnati. I'm not familiar with this brewery.
Yeah. Cool. So, according to the side of the can, live life... Oh, boy, it's going to be one of those. Okay. live life, do good, drink beer. The Kolsch style originates from Cologne, Germany. Yeah. The German malts and noble hops keep it true to its heritage. This ale is lagered at a low temperature to produce a crisp, delicate, extremely drinkable beer, perfect for any occasion. This beer won gold and best of show in the 2020 Ohio Craft Brewers Cup.
Cool.
Enjoy! Exclamation point. So yeah, it's
drinkable cool. is a very good word yep, for sure this beer.
Is. Yes,
this is a crushable as shit.
Right. I chose it because it had Third Eye in the name. Yeah, Third Eye Brewing
with the ring.
Yeah, and I was reminded of the ring, the
like
creepy
it.
Ring.
I like it.
And I knew it was going to be pretty drinkable, so I decided, you know, why not take a break from all the IPAs we tend to get and get something a bit more...
Crushable.
This is crushable. It's a volume drinking beer.
Right. So at 5% ABV and 24 IBU...
That's pretty high for a Kolsch. That's on the top end of...
Where are they typically?
They're usually 4 to 4.5.
And this one is 24 IBUs, so it's going to be less hoppy.
Mm-hmm.
If at all.
Should gargle
yeah.
it a little bit.
So, right. So there, yeah, the hop is in there to...
just give it some character.
Well, it's part of the Rhein-Heisgebot where you have to have water.
Gesundheit.
Exactly.
I was just going to say, bless you.
The German purity,
the purity
law
yeah.
is in Germany for a long period of time. You could only call something beer if it was made out of water, barley, and hops.
Mm.
And then when they discovered yeast, they went, oh yeah, we got to add that in there too. So... That was for a very long time the only beer you could make in mm-hmm. Germany by law. Things have changed clearly. So.
It's a B-I-E-R beer.
Yeah, right.
It's not what, beer. What it's would
beer. Yeah. What would they have done if they'd have found a beer that had snuck in some cinnamon?
I don't know. I don't know what the
cinnamon. That was like, an interesting choice.
I was like, what's a good additive? I don't know. Cinnamon.
They stuck some cherries or some asparagus.
Or like, or something. I don't,
like,
not
nine!
Sure.
Das ist nein beer!
but yeah, this is a wonderful beer. This is German. And for a period of time, the word Kolsch was much like champagne. yes, thank
das
you.
Das ist grob.
It can only be made in the... Or bourbon. It can only be made in a certain region of the world.
Right.
That, I don't think that's true anymore because this is made in Cincinnati, clearly.
Correct.
There's no longer the stigma of Kolsch only being from, what did it say, Cologne, Germany,
mm-hmm.
I think.
I bet that town stinks.
But German Cologne? Yeah, it's like motor oil. And,
well, I was just thinking, you know, you probably shouldn't visit there, given what cologne tends to do to you.
Oh, yes, I'd be pooping a lot, for sure.
Pooping?
I demand an explanation.
That's one of my favorite Jody stories ever.
When there is a pungent perfume in the air,
you shit yourself?
It triggers me, and I have to go use the restroom, yes.
So Jody tells me years ago that early in their dating, they were having some kind of conversation about like perfumes, colognes, whatever. And Jody said that she doesn't really like cologne. It makes her think of like stuffy old
yeah.
men
right,
that
yeah.
work at like the bank, you know, not like the nice tellers, but like the guys behind
those
the desks
bankers.
Off to the side. And she said, and I was like, oh yeah, I totally get what you're saying. There is that like old man scent that
right.
comes with that. And she was like, yeah, absolutely. And she said, and then Pete says to me, as if it's a totally normal sentence to drop into a conversation, oh yeah, I don't like cologne, it makes me poop. And she goes, with no further explanation. I said, did you say, you know you're not supposed to drink it, right?
Yes, one does not absorb cologne rectally.
Right.
It is so, not a
yeah.
suppository.
So.
It's a trigger. It gives me a headache, and then I have to go poop. I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
I feel like...
I know. I totally derailed us. I'm sorry. But
no,
when you
I
said
like...
cologne, I was like, oh no,
right.
Pete's going to poop. Like, literally was the first thing that ran across my mind.
Let's not question my GI tract anymore.
No,
please.
This beer is delicious. I'm going to get us back on track.
Thank you.
This beer is delicious. I really like this. I'm going to have to say, It feels like something I would drink after mowing.
After mowing, yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. It does have a little grassy, weedy, not weedy, but...
No.
But, like, it's very grainy.
It's crisp.
Graspy, okay. Grassy.
It's crisp.
And weedy and it's, dopey and sneezy.
It has kind of a clean...
Bashful dock.
And because it's low ABV, mm-hmm. you've been outside in the hot sun, you know, you have one of these, you're not going to be a hot mess afterwards because right. you've just rehydrated with a non-hydrating actual beverage.
So the beer is, it's a lager, but it's fermented with ale yeast, which is clearly different than lager yeast. Mm. But then after it's done fermenting, it is cold stored. So it ferments at a higher temperature and then it rests at a colder temperature. It's just, it's kind of a hybrid. And mm-hmm. when I tell people like, well, yeah, it's kind of a hybrid beer. And they look at me like, what the hell are you talking about? I say, well, it's, it's not using lager yeast, but it's using a lager recipe. And yeah. then it does both temperature cycles, which is really very unique.
So it doesn't use like an electric motor and a petroleum powered motor.
No. Steam and hamster
power. Put diesel
powered.
In an unleaded tank.
Solar power and nuclear power.
It's just it's cool. It's hard to do a Kolsch well because you really have to pay attention to it. And this is done very, very well. Thank you, Third Eye. Cheers.
How is it great. Creamy?
You get creamy of it?
Yeah. Maybe it's because it's the texture is like it's a really tight carbonation. So it's like almost a foamy, pillowy mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm. And it's not sharp on the throat at all.
Yeah. Pillowy mouthfeel.
Oh, God. Mm.
I'm not allowed to say that like that again. I'm not. That sucked.
I kind of liked it.
Yeah. Ooh. The way he said it or just the way it tastes?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's fun. That's a good beer. I like
that is a very good beer. This is a patio beer.
What flavors should we be detecting in this?
Lager, grain.
Grain.
Yeah.
Beer.
Yeah, it's pretty
It's simple.
Subtle.
Lagers yeah. are simple. They're like, I was described to me once, lager beers tend to be a pine forest. Here's the forest. It's pine trees, needles on the ground. That's it.
Yeah.
Mm. Ales tend to be more of a jungle where you don't know what's around the next corner. Both are beautiful. Both are great for the environment, but you just don't know what's coming up on a jungle. Whereas it's very consistent over on the lager side. Mm. Doesn't make one better than the other. It just, that's the best descriptors I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
The two styles.
Good metaphor. Hmm?
I like my beer teeming with life.
What?
Okay.
They can't all be gems.
Right.
No.
Right.
Like this movie is not a gem.
No.
What? What? How can you say that?
I don't know what these...
I don't understand what they're talking about.
Okay, first of all, I did choose this movie because it is one of the first movies I'd ever watched as a little kid.
Oh, yeah?
That was probably not age-appropriate for me. Oh, my father was like, you shouldn't watch. This is pretty violent. And I'm like, and I watched it anyway, and he didn't stop me because he doesn't care.
Oh, Dad.
Because it was the 80s.
Yeah, he did his due diligence. He's like, I warned him. He's... If he gets fucked up, then whatever.
No lawyer will convict me.
Yeah. Right.
I did my thing.
Yes. Well, he was parenting you in what Millie referred to the ancient times of the 80s.
Yes, it was the 80s. It was the early 80s.
Ancient the direct times. Quote that she said. Look in here. The ancient times.
Look here, woman.
Of the 80s.
My goodness.
But I remember just being enthralled by how awesome things were. Like, it's just, you know, swords and monsters and magic and... eyeball rings and
animals
a Peter tiger friend and he got to name it, and he had, you know, ferret friends who got names and an eagle friend who got no name for some reason.
Aww.
His name is America.
Sure. It's America.
Sure.
America.
His name was America, and I thought that was cool. And like, I the metaphor of like, I have my sight, I have my cunning, I have my strength, you know, referring to the eagle, the ferrets
and the tiger.
I'm like, you know, like 6-year-old, 8-year-old me was like, that's deep.
Whoa.
Absolutely. Boom. Now, that's Millie cool. would add to that phrase, now all you need is not a goofy run. Because right after he like gives that speech, he like runs from wherever you were standing toward probably Kiri in some way. And I mean, I didn't know that it was particularly a goofy looking run, but he's running in weird boots and... a car wash skirt and
his beautifully feathered hair.
Yes. with his
Mark Singer was he was fit.
Yep.
Yeah. There's no doubting those shirt wrinkles at all.
No. Those were every one of those wrinkles was earned. I'm speaking of the shirt wrinkles. I thought he was a much more believable hero versus your Arnolds of the world out there. Like, they're just a caricature. They are a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Where this guy looks like he can actually fight. Where I'm not so certain that Arnold would have the skill set.
His muscles won't allow him to bend his arm all the way around to chop somebody's head off.
He could snap somebody in two, but you got to catch him first.
Right.
And I think Mark Singer, the way he was, I believed every bit of his strength and skills.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like, the comparison is like that comic book artist that you were showing Millie that was like in the 90s that like drew the chest
Rob
out.
Rob Liefeld.
Rob Liefeld.
So.
Well, all of them. Jim Lee's not.
The thing is, like, Jim Lee had a firm grasp of anatomy.
Fair.
And Rob Liefeld didn't.
Well, yeah.
At least
he didn't, if he did, he did not express it in his artwork in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was hilariously disproportionate.
Yeah.
anatomically impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Captain America. There's the best one is there's a famous picture of Captain America like just standing
in profile.
Yeah. Profile, and his chest is like 3 feet. Chest was at least 3 feet. And
from the end of his nose.
And he's holding his shield, and then somebody like, if you took the shield away and just stripped away his costume, this is what it would look like. And they drew a naked Captain America where is standing that same thing. It was like, oh my God. Kill it with fire.
Yeah. They stripped his uniform away and just had what he would look like anatomically.
Yeah.
And it's horrific.
It's grotesque.
Yeah.
It's stupid. Like, his arm would have been like a foot long.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And like a giant bicep that ends in a little nub of a fist.
Because he couldn't draw hands.
We couldn't draw feet.
Couldn't draw feet. That's what started the conversation is Millie was talking about struggling to draw feet, so she just adjusted her picture. So
and I said, hey, there's an artist in the 90s that made his whole career without having to draw feet.
Yeah.
Drew no feet, but lots of pouches.
Yeah.
Oh, all the pockets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although we can thank her for Deadpool.
Yep.
Yes. Thank you for Deadpool.
Who has lots of pouches.
Still to this day has lots of pouches.
Look, there's nothing wrong with pockets. I've been screaming for them my entire life.
Well, you and Dar, neither of you had pockets.
It's true. Dar at least had a backpack that he carried around. That's with his ferrets in it. With little messenger bag.
European man bag.
That's right.
European carry-on.
His merce.
Right.
Which I really should. I mean, it really should just be a thing. Like, just carry a bag.
I tried to do it, and then I got mocked mercilessly for my merce.
Did
you really?
I wore a bag.
No shit.
Oh, yeah.
Before me. This wasn't a me thing.
Oh.
I wear a backpack, dude. No one will screw with you.
Nobody will go. Yeah, but that's not. I liked my purse. I liked my purse. What can I say? It was awesome.
The fact that you had to have a $40,000 Birkin bag is probably really the issue.
Yeah, that was it.
Good Lord.
No, of course not. Actually, it was corduroy.
It was
a corduroy bag.
It's like a messenger bag.
That's why you got made fun of.
Probably.
It was corduroy.
Probably.
Yeah. It was a merce.
But this was before you had, like, phone, so I had my books and like pens and pencils and things in it.
So it was literally a book bag. A messenger bag.
Yeah, it was truly a messenger bag.
But I carried it everywhere, and so everybody made fun of me with my purse. And I was like, fine. Let's go back to carrying them around like a savage.
Yes.
Although, I mean, we wear men's pants, which have deep, deep, large, useful pockets.
Especially back in the 90s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like,
well, shit, back in the 90s, you had cargo pants on. You had even extra pockets.
Yeah, we had at least
all
two
the way
extra
down
pockets.
The leg.
That's what I was talking about. Yeah.
And less stuff to carry.
But
now we have more stuff.
Putting a book in those pockets, it did flap against your thigh all day. It was a little bit annoying.
Nerd.
But, I mean, at least we wore a shirt. So if we did carry a merce, it wouldn't chafe us, which I'm sure that Dar had to run into, because he had crossbody bag, and like his sword was on his back, and like the leather straps. I'm like, you've been running this whole time, like those would be rubbed raw.
Oh yeah.
And you've been exposed to the sun this entire time with your shirtless
warriorness.
Yeah.
Shirtlessness. Yes.
Like, you're going to go run off into the desert. The last thing you want to do is just expose your body to all this stuff. But whatever. I mean,
whatever. Yeah.
I mean, I think that was the filmmaker's attempt at showing the changeover from simple farm boy to hero. Because he was wearing a full-on, like, tunic and whatever when he was out in the field.
Yeah. And it did go down almost past his testicles.
Almost. The tunic?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. It was very short.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually one thing I was thinking to myself, like, okay, so that's pretty equal because the girls are going to be wearing something not much longer than that.
Oh, correct.
And I was correct. I'm like, okay.
Equal opportunity exposure.
Yeah, I'm wearing a shirt when my ball is hanging out or whatever. That's great.
Yeah, Millie was not real thrilled with the skimpiness of the outfits. Like
For both genders?
Yeah. I mean, she didn't love the basically getting mooned by the creepy face witches at the very beginning of the out.
What about McDougal or what's McDowell?
McDougal?
The guy from...
John Amos? Oh, Seth.
Yeah. John Amos.
Seth.
Oh, yeah. When he, like, pulls off his big robe there, and you, like, see he's in the, like...
dancer outfit.
Yeah. Millie literally said, oh, the outfits, no! So...
Oh, it was great. He rocked it, though. He rocked it. He looked great.
Another person who earned all of his skin wrinkles, for sure. He definitely... was in good shape there.
He had a very
Admiral
wide,
Fitzwallace
very,
olive.
Very broad. That guy was top heavy. Boy, he looked great.
Yeah. It took me a minute to realize who he was when we first started watching the movie. And I like looked him up and I was like, oh, he's the dad from Good Times. Okay. And then I was like, wait. Oh, yes. It is Admiral Fitzwallace from The West Wing. Definitely.
And she said that later. I was like, oh my God. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
I went straight to Coming to America.
Yeah. That's Mr. McDowell. Yeah.
That's what,
and I also saw older Kunta Kinte from Roots.
Yes.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, he's in Roots too.
Oh, old. I got you.
But anyhow, yeah, it was. I know that a lot of these scenes were filmed in Valley of Fire State Park in Nevada, and they were beautiful. I think the rest was filmed like on a soundstage or something.
There were several sets.
Oh, I'm sure.
When they're doing the.
The world's weirdest temple.
The Scooby-Doo chasing down the hallway of the whatever. I really like those homunculin or whatever.
The Death Guard.
The Death Guards.
The homunculus.
They're not quite human anymore. And
yeah.
They're running around with leather chaps on. And oh, it was very, very funny trying to catch the ferrets. That made me giggle.
That was definitely very Scooby-Doo-esque where that... guard is chasing those ferrets. It's like, what? You don't have better things to do? Like,
he's focused.
This is like olden times. Aren't there vermin running around everywhere? Like, why are you chasing these?
That's one of the things that drove me crazy, though. Like, they made this big deal out of getting these keys, and it didn't fucking matter.
Right.
Nothing.
This
guy chases these ferrets around with these keys, and all of a sudden, oh, they got the keys. We don't need them anymore.
Yeah. I thought that was weird. Like, well, first of all, Millie was pissed about that because they put the ferrets in a dangerous
situation
and something could have happened because she'd already lived through.
For no reason.
Yes. She'd already lived through.
Just lowers them right in front of the guy's face.
I know, right?
That's sneaky.
Yeah. Well, she'd already lived through the ferrets rescuing Dar from the quicksand.
Peter would have had a word with them.
Right. And that one ferret then falling in and like slowly like falling down.
And
she was screaming the whole time, like, no, I don't care about your life, Dar. You don't let that ferret die. Like, she was like losing her shit about it.
It's a never ending story.
Oh.
That will traumatize the shit out of her.
I know.
But now is the time to watch it.
I know. Now, she's like the exact right age to watch it.
Yep.
I know.
Gotta learn about life and death, babe.
And quicksand.
And quicksand. It's very quicksand. Important. You got more quicksand.
And more quicksand. I swear to God.
Yeah.
It was a real thing. Was it quicksand, scorpions? What else was in the 80s?
In the 80s?
Lava.
No, I don't think lava.
Giant rolling boulders.
Earthquakes. A lot of earthquakes.
Like what you were afraid of. I remember distinctly.
Nuclear blasts.
Just quicksand.
Well, yeah.
Well,
yeah. Well,
should be afraid of that today. Yeah, well,
quicksand definitely. I mean, we were raised in that era where it could be anywhere. Like you could just be walking to school on the same path you always walk on, and
oh, no, I know
one
what.
Day that sidewalk just becomes quicksand.
Piranhas.
Yep, yes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Piranhas. Because they're fresh water.
That's right. Yeah. That's true.
All of us thought the piranhas were going to be a much larger problem than they actually
are. Why haven't we done piranha?
Why haven't there been a movie where they put piranhas in the quicksand?
Quicksand piranhas.
Oh, my.
No!
I got to call Asylum right
now. I was
going
to say, I think you missed your calling at the Sci-Fi Channel. It feels like a subgenre of Sharknado.
Swamp piranha.
Yeah. Sand piranha.
I think Great Lakes Piranha would be a good one.
Great Lakes Piranha. That's a really good title.
I like that. I just like, popped into my head like, oh, why don't we have Great Lakes Piranha?
TM, 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 claiming.
Right, right, copyright, copyright. Trademark, trademark.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was great when, it wasn't great when he fell in the quicksand, but as soon as that happened, Troy and I both turned and we're like, oh, like looked at each other. Like we didn't even say anything. We're just like pointing at each other. So then when the ferrets like fall down, or not fall down, but when they take them down to get the keys, then we go through the whole thing. And then it's like they show up and or you get to the door and they're like, if only you had keys. And Carrie says, well, it's unlocked.
It's unlocked.
And they just open
God
it.
God damn it.
Yeah. Billy, that's when Billy started yelling, why does it matter? And I kind of like it gave me pause for a second, not just because she was screeching at the TV about it, but it also made me think, did they film this early in the sequence of filming? Because you know they don't film
right.
a movie in order. Because he even makes a joke later in that same kind of sequence when the ferrets show up. Like he waits for the ferrets after he sends everybody down the tunnel or whatever. And he's like, I can't leave without my friends. And he like waits for the ferrets to come. And they have the keys still. And he's like, well, you're too late. Like he like makes a snarky joke to the ferrets. And I was like, did we start out making a different movie and then decide
maybe they made a script
schlocky jokey isn't working? So let's like change it up a little bit.
I've not seen the making of, so I don't know. And I didn't watch a commentary, so I don't know. It's possible
because it's the only part in the movie where he's like
a little zinger.
Yeah, little makes kind of a joke about anything.
A little late.
Right.
Yeah, and the ferrets are probably like, dude, we almost died.
Right.
To get you these fucking keys.
Yeah. First we fell in the quicksand. And then
the whole thing where he's like trying to make the moves on Kiri and like with the tiger, he's like, it's a dangerous beast. And he's like messing with it. That's kind of supposed to be, that's kind of funny.
It's supposed to be funny. Like, yeah, it's a dangerous beast. Watch out. It's going to hurt you. And then like, you better make out with me.
Yeah. That's where it stopped being funny.
Yeah. And then she like knocks him down.
That's when it started being funny again.
Yeah. When she flips him over and takes control.
Like, who are you? It's like, I'm Dar.
Yeah.
There's a big stupid look in
his
face.
When he grabs her and kisses her, Millie goes, you just met 5 seconds ago.
She's not wrong.
Yeah, she's very correct.
I understand.
So, which is why
I
was like, right to knock him down.
Yeah, and I was like, correct response, child. Correct response.
Good girl.
So.
But the way he met her kind of makes you understand it.
Elaborate.
You mean in the topless bathing? In the
topless
bathing
pool? Yeah, exactly.
It's like, they had to untopless themselves.
Yeah. Well done.
Did you see? That was hilarious in the synopsis. I laughed very much.
Oh, Tanya Roberts. We're talking about Mark Singer. She earned every curve on her.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Her
Midge
frame.
Pinciotti.
Oh, Midge.
From that 70s show.
Oh, she was such.
Sheena.
She's Donna's mom. Yeah, Sheena.
Wonderful dits. Oh, my God. She played that perfectly.
Yeah. She was a Bond girl, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was in
A View to a Kill.
A View to a Kill. That's right.
Yeah. Roger Moore.
Yep.
I didn't know any of that.
With Maximilian Zorn.
I recognized her voice. When she was talking in the movie, I was like, why do I know that? Because she's got a little bit of a scratch to her voice.
It's a little scratchy.
And I recognized that. So then I looked her up and I was like, oh, she's Midge.
Oh,
that's
totally,
the voice that I recognize. And then I saw the other things. I was like, oh.
And her eyes are hypnotizing. Mm-hmm. Man, those liquid crystal blue eyes.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. She just passed away in 2021.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw it was, it was 21, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Beautiful eyes, like perfectly made up. For you know, a Bronze Age.
Yeah, she
fantasy.
Definitely rocked the smoky eye for a time before maybe it's Maybelline. Yeah. So.
And her hair feathered enough with enough hairspray, one would think that That would be a short supply. Well, and such
Dar
times.
Obviously had a good supply of Aquanet going too. He had some good feathering going on too.
Yeah. Where do you keep your big curler set?
In it's cans.
Speaking of Maybelline, so the tiger.
Tiger.
Was Miss Clairol'd to be all black.
Yes.
Poor tiger.
Why? Why couldn't it just be a tiger?
This is the one little bit that I know. They wanted a panther. Either there wasn't a panther available or they're harder to train.
You can't really train like jaguars or leopards.
Okay, so that's the thing. So Don Coscarelli wanted a leopard or a panther. And it wasn't feasible, so they got a tiger.
It's like, it's got to be a panther. Well, we can get a tiger. No, paint the tiger.
I guess that's the part. It's like, okay, you can't have the big ferocious kitty that you want, but here's another big ferocious kitty. But still doesn't explain why you had to dye it black.
Funny, the Beastmaster 2 has the tiger unwashed.
Unpainted,
yes.
Oh, interesting.
So they said, fuck that. We're not going to do that again.
The difference in years between when those movies were made, PETA began to exist, I'm going to guess.
Yeah. But it was, it's just regular hair color, so it didn't do him any harm. One of the funny things was when the tiger would take a drink, it would wash off of his beard or her beard, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Its mouth.
Yes, yeah. Its mouth. And it was, every once in a while, you'll see a little orange over
That's
here.
That's hilarious.
Over there. It was very funny.
It must be like super temporary, like almost like that Halloween spray on hair color that you can do for it to wash off that simply, which makes, that's better for the animal. Yeah.
They don't want to dye the animal something that could be harmful if it tried to lick it off.
Exactly.
That's true.
So, I mean, for all we know, it could have been like a crazy mixture of like Kool-Aid or something.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I read it was Miss Clairon. I mean,
it probably was. They just probably didn't use the...
Water down or something?
The mixture that you use to get the color, but none of the ammonia and things that make it permanent.
Okay.
On there. They would have left those chemicals.
Okay. That makes sense. I don't know much about hair or hair products.
Why not, Pete?
Growing hair or
having hair.
Having hair. Managing hair.
I mean,
what do you know about beer?
I do know about beer. Do we need another beer?
Yeah.
I think it's an excellent idea. So let's go get our second beer for the night. We'll see you in just a minute.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? Three orange whips.
Okay, this one's got a cork. So I'm going to point this away from my friends here.
Aim it at... Okay.
Put my glasses on.
Right. Good idea. I'm going to hide behind the mic. There it is. Okay, what do you? Oh, you can only do one thing at one time. Yes.
Right. But this is this is Rock Mule Brewery, cask aged triple, golden ale aged in whiskey barrels.
Wow. So sadly, Rock Mule isn't open anymore. I don't know if there's like there are plenty of breweries out there that have closed and will contract brew through other.
They've let go of their own facilities, but. They'll
dump their recipe off on, let's say, Columbus Brewing Company and say, hey, look, here's the recipe. Here's a bunch of money. Brew our beer for us, and then we'll bottle it and whatever else. It's a really weird legal jump rope that you have to jump through to get that done.
Jump rope?
Shut up. Yes.
So what you're saying is this is a collector's item.
This could be a collector's item, yeah. I played a gig down there once.
Don't open it, Dave. We can put it on eBay.
Oh, it's too late. I'm already drinking it. All right.
That whiskey shines through.
A triple is a Belgian style, yes?
Correct.
And it doesn't mean it's actually tripled anything, is it, numerically?
No, there's no...
There's nothing like the triple area of Belgium, otherwise?
It's certainly something I need to look up, and I haven't.
A golden ale. I'll read the label while you look it up. Okay, so Cask A Triple. Middle West Spirits is apparently the barrel that they use.
Mm-hmm.
Our traditional triple was aged in Middle West Spirits OYO whiskey barrels. This limited batch triple reveals the beauty of working together. That's it. If anybody in the Central Ohio area has not been to Middle West Spirits, it's lovely. You should go.
I could see why they went out of business. Their copywriters are shit.
Where is Middle West Spirits? Is it here in town?
It's in Grandview.
Is it? Okay.
Where was Rock?
Wait.
No, I think you're right.
Am I mixing that up with...
Are you mixing that up with Watershed?
Yeah. But whichever the case, it is in Central Ohio. It's in Columbus, like in the center of Columbus.
Okay. You can smell the whiskey on this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, respect this beer, please.
It's 10.5. So... Oh, yes, that's pretty
high. I love Mia.
There's definitely a whiskey character to this.
Yes.
Definitely.
Like a depth, a dark richness.
Yeah, it's real sharp. It's there's a lot of layers to this.
It's hot.
To this. Yeah, it is hot.
Yeah.
This is the definition of a hot beer for sure.
Yeah, usually it's like hot, tingly tip of the tongue stuff, but this is like hot in the back of the throat.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep.
Also.
Yeah, that's definitely what I'm definitely getting the whiskey more than the
beer.
Belgian, more than the beer, yep.
Oh, yeah, it's all whiskey. It just tastes like whiskey.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. This is not something I would buy again.
Well, you probably wouldn't be able to. Yeah.
I won't be able to, right?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think, Dave, as the whiskey guy?
I like it. I don't always necessarily look for the whiskey flavor and stuff that's not whiskey.
Mm.
Like, I kind of like stuff to taste the way it's supposed to taste.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I were to drink a beer that tastes like coffee, okay, fine. That's, if there's coffee notes
in it. That sounds terrible.
I don't know. I like stuff to taste the way it's supposed to taste.
Yeah.
This is not unenjoyable. I like it. I don't know how much of it I could drink.
Agreed.
Yeah.
We have one bottle. That's plenty. Thank you so very much.
Single bottle, single bomber.
I'm enjoying the experience, but yes, this 6 ounces max.
As a triple, you usually get lots of sweetness in it, don't you? Usually you get that hard rock candy.
Triples, yeah. Triples where you... when I think of a triple, I think of that Belgian candy, that rock candy.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're usually a little darker. This is pretty, I mean, it's not yellow, but it's not amber by any stretch.
The
straw color.
The Belgians are funny. Like, just because it's a double, triple, or quad doesn't mean it gets progressively darker or lighter. It just depends on the particular recipe. I have not been able to wrap my brain around Belgians
and the
intimate differences in them.
I feel like that's a lot of the shortcoming of mine. When you get that dark, you get that candy, rock candy kind of thing in a Belgian, I feel like that makes it a little darker and darker in the sense that, again, it's not
just the color.
Yellow straw, but it's also not always, it's not a red.
I've brewed with both light Belgian candy and dark Belgian candy, and there's a color difference for sure. I mean, it's the light Belgian candy is almost clear. I mean,
where does one acquire Belgian candy?
I can get it at a brewery store.
Okay,
Belgian candy stores.
Belgian candy stores. What are you, stupid?
Yeah,
a little bit.
So this is a very a powerful 10.5. ABV.
Mm-hmm.
The only IBU statement I could find was 25, which is very low.
Yep.
Which means this is going to be very malty.
Yeah.
It is.
Very strong.
It's very malty. And Troy said it's hot. My mouth is just.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the alcohol definitely cuts through any of that.
Ah!
En fuego.
Hot. Ah!
Just
heat wave.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, my mouth is just tingling. Mm-hmm. But it's very complex.
Yeah.
It's very it's thick, but not sticky. I think the alcohol is probably cutting through.
Yeah.
The alcohol is thinning out the sticky. If there wasn't as much alcohol in this, I think this would be a very viscous beer. It'd be very tar belly, like you say.
Mm-hmm.
It would be very sweet.
Yeah. And it would sit in the gut pretty heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It would, with less alcohol in it and having that consistency, I feel like it would be... a good candidate for doing in that warming beverage that we've talked about before in the winter.
Yeah, beer.
Uh-huh. Yeah, do it. Use that as a base for a mold beer.
Then just throw some spices on top of it. I think that's a good idea. Yeah.
This one probably still could do it. I might change the spice mixture.
Yeah.
That, I don't know that I would put some of those darker spices in with this as the base the way it is, but.
Spice.
It will ruin this beer. Just because of the whiskey aspect to it. Like, I'm not sure that some of those mulling spices that you would put would go with that whiskey flavor.
I'd toss some vanilla in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be nice.
That would be good.
But yeah, you're right. Like, nutmeg and cinnamon. Like, I don't know, man.
I don't think that you want whiskey and cinnamon together.
No, I don't think so.
Vanilla and cloves.
But I would even, I might do like... some sort of an orange peel.
I was just going to say vanilla and orange.
And then maybe serve it with cherries so we like gravitate toward an old fashioned. Sort of
Damn, you're talking me into this.
Right.
Yeah. This would be
it's
a really
like
nice.
He was a
like,
bartender for a long time or something.
Or something.
He knows how to put drinks together.
Didn't hop on that before I did.
Well, I couldn't get a word in edgewise. Yeah.
It's a flow of consciousness. I was really I was creating out loud.
There you go.
But yeah, this would be a really nice, like, cold weather restorative sort of, like, come in out of the cold, all rosy-cheeked and, you know.
Yeah, boy, but you got to share this. This is a bomber. You've got.
Yeah.
Well, drink it on the porch after shoveling the driveway.
Yeah.
You'll pass out if you do that.
Yeah, this feels like a cold weather beer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
But this is, I mean, for as thick as it tastes... There's an amazing amount of clarity in it. Mm-hmm. Like it's a, what would you call that? It not is, straw. Well, maybe.
It's I'd call it straw, but it's definitely got
it's cloudy.
Yeast. It's cloudy. Yeah. There's active yeast in it.
It's a little more thatched roof than Feed the Cow.
If you were to blindfold me and give me this, I would have called this at least a copper color beer. Yeah. This is definitely closer to straw than
it's a gold.
It's a nice gold, yes.
Yeah. Or like never mind. I was going to say like that really horrible pee after a day of drinking, a whole day of drinking.
Coffee pee?
Yeah. And then like the next morning.
You're talking about dehydrated
A dehydrated
urination.
Pee, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dehydrated pee.
Jesus.
You guys are stretching.
I know. Yeah, that was a bit of a stretch. So speaking about stretches. I don't know if this is a good segue or not.
Are you going to talk about how they unnecessarily stretched this movie into 2 hours and 20 minutes or whatever it is? Well,
yeah. That's my... So if we're going to fix this movie, here's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm going to tighten this script up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was too much bullshit in this, much like the Lord of the Rings movies. There's too much bullshit in this. And I liked the movie. It was fun, but it's overlong. It should have been a solid 90 minutes, and this was a little over 2 hours, was it?
It was like 126 minutes or something.
An hour
like
58
minutes.
Right at the two-hour mark, and it didn't need to be that. It overstayed its welcome a little long, and that's how I would fix this movie. It's just tighten the script up. Take some of this bullshit out. I know the ferrets being chased was a lot of fun, but man, you didn't need any of that. Mm-mm. And then it felt like it ended three times.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was
this
very
is true.
Lord
yes.
of the Ringsy.
That's my complaint.
Where it ended here and it ended there. I watched another movie. I forget what I watched. Oh, Enola Holmes. This is the second one.
Yeah, we haven't
Jody
seen that
and I
one yet.
Finished that one. It was delightful, but finish the movie for heaven's sake.
Well, and if you're not gonna finish it, at least do it the way they do it in Clue. Or
right.
Or Wayne's World.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's my fix. I don't have a lot of, as far as the story and what was happening on the screen, and I had no problems with any of that.
Oh,
it
I was, have fixes.
It was just how fucking long it was. Come on, guys, you've overstayed your welcome.
Yeah, right. I'm gonna piggyback on that. I wasn't sitting there thinking, oh my God, when is this movie going to end? But again, I was also enjoying all of the things that were coming out of my child, you know, the random things she was spouting out. Though even by the end, she started to like taper off. Because initially, as we were watching the movie and she was like, you know, zing, 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 zing. Like it was every single. I mean, she literally started before the movie started when the credits were rolling. And she said, what kind of name is Rip? Like, I was just like, oh, my God, here we go. So but even like she got to a point where she like wasn't saying as much anymore. And all of what she was saying was more about like anger at the animals being in danger. She was not a fan of the ferrets almost getting cut in half to chop the rope.
Oh, goodness.
You know,
to
deal with the whole gate closure or whatever.
That's a lot. That's more stuff that could have been cut out.
Well, and like my biggest complaint with this movie was that they go through everything. Well, I have two complaints. They go through, I mean, I probably have more, but I have, but two, I have two that I'm going to make as an actual point.
Yeah. Wait, I just thought of another one.
Right. Welcome to ADHD, the gift that keeps on giving. So, but the...
Now, what was I talking about?
An adventure every day. Every moment.
Who's close?
And if you don't like that adventure, wait 5 minutes. You'll go on a new one.
It's like spring in Ohio.
Just Ohio in general. Yeah. Anyway, the movie starts out, and the task of the Beastmaster is to avenge his village for being destroyed by the Djinn.
He's expressly told by his father, like, if something were to happen to me, go do stuff about it.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Yes, he even tells him, you know, your special gift is to protect us, which Millie said, well, that didn't happen. Yeah, made me laugh. But,
you had one job.
Right, exactly. But, so that's what he does. And then he meets Kiri, and suddenly his entire goal is to be with her.
Motivation changes.
And if to be with her, he has to also rescue the king and destroy the Djinn, then cool, he's going to do that. But it's to be with her. And if he can't be with her, he's literally going to cry about it, which was kind of like
did.
A big cry. I wrote down, this is the cryingest superhero ever. Like I'm
crocodile tears. I mean, it was...
Oh, yeah. What is it? They use glycerin or whatever. Uh-huh. It was like, they use a whole bottle in this movie. So that annoyed me. Because
what,
it was
a man's
like,
not supposed to have feelings?
I mean, he can, but come on. But I don't know. It just annoyed me. But when they go and they rescue the king, and you get like, and it's this whole big thing. They've been running through the thing, and the guy, you know, they Scooby-Dooed with the dead guards, and the ferrets are getting the keys, and there's the secret tunnel under the skull boulder. And apparently, there's also another entrance that Kiri can come back through, which Millie yelled, plot hole, when that happened.
She's absolutely right.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, like all of that's happening. And so you're like, okay, scene. Just kidding. We have a whole other thing that we have to do because now that we've done this.
We haven't killed Max.
Right. We haven't killed Max and we haven't defeated the Djinn or whatever. And so, like, we have to go through that whole process. And it was like, what? Isn't this movie over? And especially because, like, the fight that Beastmaster, what's his name? Dar mm-hmm. has with like the main Djinn guy, the guy that Millie went, ooh, bat people when they showed up because he has this big weird
bat wings on his hockey
on his
mask
helmet or whatever. Yeah. That was the dumbest fight.
It was the dumbest
fight. That's the part that I would fix. We need to kill the Djinn and save the king and Mayax. That needs to be one big.
Yeah. Kablooey. The climax, yeah.
Not, mm-hmm. and then whoa, boom, and then whoa, boom. Mm-hmm. So,
one of my favorite like cut this shit out was when they were trying to set the moat on fire. I totally forgot about this, and so this guy's running. It felt like Monty Python and the Holy Grail, where John Cleese is running toward the castle, and then the camera cuts, and then he's running to the castle. So this kid, they had somebody run up there, gets. Shot
and he's behind the wall, and the gate's open.
Yeah,
and so he's like, "Okay, their whole plan to keep the Djinn horde from attacking."
So like the tar on fire, good plan, right?
Yeah. It's a city surrounded by a tar moat that's all of like 5 feet wide, but whatever.
Sure, but if you light it on fire,
you don't want
a good deterrent.
And so like the whole plan was for this kid to grab a torch and run up to the moat and light it on fire, and that would either keep them out or burn whoever's in it. Is that the idea?
Well,
I think.
Yeah, but it took like four people to get the torch.
Because he kept getting shot.
He kept getting shot.
Yes. Well, and it was like in a ridiculous slow-mo. Like I expected to like, you know, Chariots of Fire. Dun, dun, uh-huh. dun, dun, yeah. dun, oh, you know?
That made me so frustrated. Like, oh my God, get on with it.
Well, and the gate for the city has like...
There's a space where you could climb over
yes!
it.
Yes! Yeah. Or if you're Beastmaster, you just hop over it like... Oh. The trampoline on the other side or something.
Not a good gate.
Like, close the gate, but then you could just walk. You can climb over the gate.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, Dave.
No, please. That was it.
You're up, dude.
Yeah.
What would you fix, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay, so... if we're, okay, first of all, I think this movie could probably be remade. and make more sense. Mm-hmm. One of the things they would do is put proper clothes on people, which is fine. But I get it.
It's barbarians.
Yeah,
whatever.
It's a sword and sorcery mm-hmm. stuff. And
don't make the two love interests related.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
I did think.
Millie had words about that, too.
That. Don Costagrilli, what are you doing? Stop that. Knock that shit off.
Now, presumably speaking, okay, I would fill up a lot of the holes. Sorry. So I would fill up as many holes as possible. You know what? I'm sticking with it.
Just roll,
you've
baby.
I'm committed. One, if the like you said before, Kathleen, if his motivation is to avenge his destroyed village, then it should just stay that.
Right.
Two, if he was the son of the king who got, you know, removed from the queen and into a cow.
Right. Poor innocent cow.
Right. I get it. Fine. Don't introduce a new son of the king out of nowhere who's like, what, about 14 years old?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, like, where's his mother?
Yeah. Assuming a different mother.
Has to be. Has the to other be. Mom dies during the cow
during
transfer.
Cow transfer, cow surrogates or whatever. But then if the king was captured or imprisoned or whatever after Mayax does his little coup, when did the king have a chance to impregnate anybody else?
Right.
And then when did this child get, you know, whisked and secreted away, guarded by Seth, and then reintroduce him to the point where we don't care? Presumably different mom, same dad, fine. If Kiri is Tal, the younger prince's
mother's
cousin, if she's related to the mother, then Dar and Kiri are not related.
Biologically, correct.
Right.
But if it's same dad situation, then you're playing genetic roulette here. Because you might just end up having a kid who just ends up being just a lump of hair and teeth. I don't know how it works. That's another hole. Suddenly there's another son. Why? Okay. Streamlining the narrative. Apparently the temple, the pyramid that they were in,
mm-hmm.
There's a different temple? Because they had to go back and forth?
Oh, yeah, because temple to sacrifice the children, but when the eagle sees the girls being taken to be sacrificed, they're not going to the temple where they throw children down the fiery pit.
It's not the children burning temple. It's a different temple.
Straight up murder a kid in a fire. It's like, wow!
What, you're going to murder adults and children at the same place? What are you, sick?
I'm totally
animals here. Come on.
Yeah.
You compartmentalize or
government regulations. Yeah. They kill you every time, right? You
know, shit is a pain in my ass.
God.
Well, yeah.
And the unions, gosh. I'll only sacrifice at this temple. I will sacrifice children at a different temple. Like, that's not my job.
I can't transport them. I hear something.
Right.
Right.
So, yes. I agree with you with that, too, with some of that storytelling. Like, Troy, you're not a giant fan of the sword and sorcery kind of genre in general.
Nah.
But I think part of what it is that you don't like about that is that there's all of this mythical back history exposition that either if it's a brand new story, they have to deliver to you or they expect you to just know it, because if you're coming to this, then you already are a big fan or whatever. And this movie doesn't do that, which is kind of a benefit.
Yeah, for me.
Because
I think
for you, for sure. Because
this movie is a lot more about, there's the characters are really endearing in this. I really enjoyed the people and what they do and how they do it. And that's a lot of fun for me. If the story had been the focus of the story, if that makes sense, it's not so much about who's doing it, but why they do it because of the decades of turmoil between our tribes, and fuck you, I don't care.
Right.
Basically, the whole story happens on camera. There's no backstory.
Yeah,
the only exposition that we get is kind of like a very quick catch up Dar to what's been happening in the town by Sokko.
Well, then,
I don't know.
I like Sokko, but I prefer Chico and Harpo. I wish they would have included them in here as well.
You got more?
I was going to say, what are you going to fix, Troy? We know you love the people.
Well, for one thing, when the guy falls out of the houses on stilts, the Wilhelm scream was totally not there.
Come on, dude.
I mean, it's asking
tradition.
For it. It's asking for it.
Right.
But, Troy, I know you had more besides that.
the stilts, houses. What else? No Wilhelm scream.
No, that was the only improvement. I think that otherwise is a perfect movie.
The only thing that you think should be fixed in this film is a Wilhelm scream being added to it.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'll add one.
Yeah. Say.
No, no. I mean, I'll add another. Like,
yeah, please.
I think the movie backed itself into a corner a number of times. Like, it painted itself into this corner, and they needed a miracle to get through this.
Mm.
One of it was at the very end with the penis vampires.
Oh yeah, the
penis. Yeah, yeah. Flapping
what the hell people? Were those?
They're, I don't know, some sort of living scrotum.
It was a convenience. Like
they were scrotum ex machina.
We need to right. We need to get our heroes out of this. Let's have, and Lord of the Rings was guilty of this too, where the eagles, the giant eagles came down and saved Frodo and Kodo and
Frodo and Dasher
Bilbo
and Dancer and Snoopy.
Yeah, right. All that stuff.
Happy and Sneezy. And
there was, I mean, I totally agree with you. Just for argument's sake, I will say the weird bat scrotum things or whatever, they did introduce them earlier, so
sure,
it made sense that they came back, like they planted that seed, but at the same time introducing them made no sense.
Yeah, it was obviously like, we need to get them out, let's write another another sequence first to explain why we can get them
that's what I think it was. Like they wrote the whole script and went, oh shit, we need to add something, so they left a Chekhov's vampire in it or something like that.
Chekhov's vampire.
Penis monsters.
I see stuff like that, I'm like, you've got a hero here that can like talk to beasts, have him call the bears down from the hills or something.
We just saw it in Tarzan. He brought all of Africa down.
Friends, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mufasa the motherfuckers.
Right, that's right.
Right. Yeah.
You've forgotten me, Simba.
For them jumping out of the thing, the Sako said to them when he like dropped them off, I'll be on this side. Now, did they conveniently end up on that exact side?
Right.
Sure.
I get it. And it's all movie making, and I get that. But I felt like, and there was another one. I don't remember what it is. There were at least three of those.
Well,
like,
just the sheer fact that they could escape out that window when they went into the room going, this is the only way to get out. And they had to like, you know, crank the thing to lift this sort of skull boulder and, you know, whatever. And then it was like, oh, and we can jump out the window. What the fuck did you just jump out the window the first time then?
Because then you don't know that the cart's going to be there to land
on.
Because
he said, I'll meet you at the south side. And they could have been farther away because they wouldn't have messed with a boulder.
Oh, boy. So that's Beastmaster. Should we rate this?
Yes. I believe we
Dave,
should.
Dave, give us the lowdown on the ratings that we do.
So we here at Good Beer Bad Movie Night have a unique rating system. We have the six-pack rating. Well, we'll rate a movie from zero beers to six beers. Zero beers means you need no alcohol. You enjoy the movie just as it is. Six beers means you need to be completely inebriated in order to enjoy the movie. So, that being said, let's reintroduce Millie into the mix.
Hi.
Hello. Hello again.
Hi.
Where did you come from?
You're back.
Upstairs. Oh. I came from upstairs. We're in the basement.
I realized you didn't just sprout from the couch, but I have had
10.5. You're in the illusion, man.
I've been hiding at the couch cushions the entire time.
Whoa.
That's what that smell was.
Oh.
Mother.
Daughter.
Don't embarrass me in front of one person.
I'm sorry, dear listener. Please excuse my joke.
Okay, so, Millie, you're familiar with the rating system.
Uh-huh.
How many beverages, I guess, non-alcoholic, would you rate this movie?
Five
out of six.
Ooh,
did not enjoy the movie.
I did not enjoy the movie. The only parts I actually liked were the animals.
Okay.
So, if it weren't for the animals, it would be a six.
Yes.
Okay, that's fair.
Wow. All
right. You're not going to knock it down like one per animal down?
Oh,
you don't have to. That's fine. Because if you do per animal, you're going to end up at zero.
It's your rating.
It's your rating.
Whatever it is.
That's still five.
Okay.
It's still terrible.
So you really, really didn't like this.
I did not like it at all.
Millie said at one point, she's like, Dave's streak remains.
It's true.
Okay, so five for
the exact thing I said was, that movie was awful, god-awful, they killed the ferret, they were the only thing I liked, and the puppy and the tiger and the eagle. Well, Dave's streak continues. That was awful. Exact words.
Well done. Well said.
Your anger sustains me.
Yeah.
I feed upon it. Okay, Pete, how many beers do you require to enjoy this movie?
Well, you done screwed up here, Dave, because I liked this movie. I'm going to, with all of its faults, with all of its
silliness. Really?
Yeah, it's a two for me. I had a good time. It was, I like it better than Crawl. I like it better than Hawk the Slayer. I like it better than Conan the Destroyer. I do not like it as good as Conan the Barbarian. That's a very good film. But as far as Sword and Sandal go, this one's pretty good.
Huh. Right,
two for Pete. And let's go with Troy. How many beers do you require to enjoy this movie?
Yeah, I think you guys have broken me. Like, this is I had a great time. This is a one beer movie for me. I totally enjoyed it.
You two are insane.
Well, you haven't watched The Swarm yet, so you haven't been broken down.
Yeah, you don't know real
bad
pain.
Movies.
Yes.
Yeah, I liked everybody in the movie. I understood their motivations, even if that motivation is, where's that hot girl again? it was entertaining. It was fun to watch. One
he made out with his cousin.
I get that.
Your rating is over.
You're done.
So, he did make out with his cousin.
Yeah, he did.
Could have been unrelated. Cousin by marriage.
Yes.
Cousin-in-law.
Yeah.
Perfectly fine.
I mean, biologically, yes.
Right.
Culturally,
still messed up. Still gross. Kathleen, how many beers do you require to enjoy this movie?
This one is a three for me.
That's not bad.
Yeah. It's, you know, I've definitely sat through worse, especially on your birthday. I mean, I wasn't... The plot holes were dumb, and I was irritated by the, you know...
Everything.
Well, not everything, but I was irritated by the, you know, change in mission and how it kind of devalued what the original mission was. But in all honesty, I think the reason I liked this movie as much as I did is I super enjoyed the dumb shit my kid said while watching this movie. Like, that was more what was entertaining to me than the actual movie.
Every time we get together with Nate for a movie on the Give Me Back My Action and Horror, we always have a better time. We always give it a higher rating because we're together.
Yeah.
And it's so much more fun with folks to watch movies like
this. Yes.
Yeah, we've talked about that before with our own film choices. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So.
And experiences are different.
I should come on here more often.
Well.
No.
What do you mean no?
Maybe you and I need to do our own mini episodes where we watch stuff and
umbrella of good beer, bad juice box, good juice, bad beer. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
How about you, Dave?
I need one beer.
One beer.
Not because it's a good movie, because it's actually a terrible movie. However, I think it encompasses everything that Good Beer Bad Movie Night should have.
Yeah,
it's up there.
Hilarious and awesomely bad. You could laugh at it. Which you should.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't make you angry.
It does not make you angry. It does not necessarily insult you. Mm-hmm. And it's unpretentious fun. Like it doesn't. It's not up its own ass. It doesn't pretend. It doesn't put on airs that it's. It does not deserve. It's just a dumb, stupid movie that is fun to watch. The reason I gave it one is because it's terrible.
That doesn't make any sense. In like this context of writing,
well, sure. If you enjoy something,
there are things that
you just got to be honest about it.
You can enjoy knowing that they're not a good product, and this is one of them. Like, there's stuff that you like that's bad.
Like you like Taco Bell, that's terrible food.
Taco Bell is terrible.
Terrible.
But we still love it.
Right.
Right.
I still give it a 10 out of 10.
Or like
White Castle.
Yes.
Always.
We eat are terrible for us. But we love them.
Right.
Junk food. This is cinematic junk
movie.
Junk food.
Yes.
Exactly.
Cinematic
junk food.
Yes.
I'll keep that in mind next time I'm writing something.
Understand these things. This is a very
trademark.
TM.
It's a very important concept. Honestly, you're allowed to like dumb stuff.
Dumb stuff. Absolutely.
You know it's dumb. You like it anyway. It's okay. Mm-hmm. If somebody wants to make fun of you for it, then they can go find something else.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah. You parade around the stuff that you like, and we'll go make fun of that.
You like what you like, and if someone doesn't like what you like, then I'm sorry.
And there's no point in pointing that out to them.
No.
You like something that's stupid, like, oh, yeah? Well, then what are you going to do about it? Cry? Go cry to your mom. Who cares?
Yeah. Call up Dar. I'm sure he has tissues.
He's got plenty of tears to pass around, I'm certain.
He'll go cry one of his giant Dar tears for you.
Right.
Anyway, so that is Millie is 5, Pete is 2, Troy is 1, Kathleen is 3, and Dave is 1.
It's a little all over the board, but
I wish you would have been 4, because then it would have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Oh my God.
Kathleen, how can folks get a hold of us on the socials if they so choose to do?
Oh, dear listener. Let me find my glasses.
Single listener.
Single listener. I think that's your favorite thing that you've learned tonight.
Yeah, it is.
That we have a single listener. If you would like to connect with us, you can reach out and email us at gbbmnpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Insta at Good Beer Bad Movie Night, or you can join the rather active Facebook group that is Good Beer Bad Movie Night group, where there is currently a post that is trending, if you will, people making suggestions for beverages, but they seem to have missed the point. Yes, Pete put up a thing saying Troy wants to know.
I think Troy did.
What's a good beer? Oh, did you
Troy,
post it?
Troy, okay. Troy posted that.
Anywho, one of them put up a thing saying Troy wants to know what's a beer that we should drink, and somebody made a comment, I think suggested something, and somebody else made a comment, and then some, like, but all the comments, like, that's not beer,
it's not
guys.
Beer.
Like,
we're asking beer. For actual beer.
Beer?
I haven't seen it. What have they suggested?
Somebody said something about bottom shelf vodka.
Yeah.
Somebody else said something about something in a blue bottle.
Vodka? Do they want us to crash the car on the way home?
Nobody answered that.
Yeah.
So it's fun. Yeah. Instagram's blowing up a little bit too. We've made some friends over there and having a good time on Instagram.
So you have more than one follower on Instagram.
No. It's only one. Only one.
Yeah.
His name's Larry.
Yeah.
He posts all the time.
Bob follows us on both Facebook and
but
Instagram.
I bring up this thing because I would like people to actually make a beer suggestion. Please.
Hops and barley should be involved somehow.
No more sun kisses, okay?
Sun kisses?
I don't know. Sun kissed?
That's a soda.
Soda.
I know.
Oh, okay.
That's the point of the joke.
Orange soda.
Your joke failed.
Well, your
Did
joke
you say
failed.
Something about being a master of comedy?
Hush, Dave.
That joke was terrible.
So I want to remind everyone that we are a proud member of the Good Give Me Back My Podcast Network. And please to check out all the other fantastic shows like the Monster Movie, Stomp Down, Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling, Give Me Back My Action, Give Me Back My Horror Movies. Troy and I were on a couple of them this month. Well,
I think Pete Love. I was going to say, I think one of those podcasts is going to change their name to Give Kathleen Back Pete, because they're real tired of the movie choices that you're making for
them.
They
gave me a month to select the movies, and I did.
And now they're saying, give us back that right.
And I might not ever do that again. I might not have the rights to ever do that again. But it was a lot of fun, and quite frankly, the shows really were a lot of fun, regardless of how much I drug those guys through the mud, and they were not happy with my selections.
I know. So. I talked to them when you were recording the other night, and I said, I hear you guys are channeling your inner Kathleen and your distaste for the films that Pete is choosing.
I thought I could introduce them to some challenging films, and I clearly was wrong.
Is that what we're calling them?
Challenging. Challenging to get through.
Oh, you have no idea, hun.
Oh, God.
Someday.
Oh, no.
So,
I'm going to become a full-time member of this podcast eventually, aren't I?
I have to buy another mic if I have to do that. I don't want to do that, so you're safe
for
now.
Start doing it.
Anyway, so please go check out the other podcasts. Again, like Kathleen said, check us out on Facebook and Instagram. We are pretty active on there. So, I guess next month is another birthday month. It's an unbirthday month.
Right, it's my faux
birthday.
Because
Kathleen wanted to move her birthday 6 months.
Birthday month for me.
Maybe we will.
It would keep us from having to watch Hallmark.
That's true. Her birthday is in December.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Guess me. I'm a December birthday girl. I get far too many presents every year.
Oh, well. I far guess that means many? I can cut
you,
back.
No.
I
think no, you can't. You can't cut back.
No.
Yeah, see, like, there is a benefit from not doing this.
Yes.
This. Sometimes.
Yes. Remember that book that we just got stuff. That has all the fun words in it that we've been learning?
Yeah.
And one of the first words was petard.
Yeah.
You have hoisted your own, my dear.
You hoist by your own petard.
Petard.
Yes. Petard.
Sure. Yes.
Yes.
Petard.
Okay.
Basically, you were blown up by your own bomb.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you go back upstairs?
No.
Okay, then. Jeez.
I didn't think we were kicking
Mom's
her out,
mean.
But we can.
No, we can. It's fine. I'm just kidding. Yes. Yeah, so
it's
next
your birthday month,
month.
Yeah.
Is my faux birthday because my actual birthday in September is not conducive to starting a new school year and doing all the work I
and
have to do.
That's perfectly acceptable.
The podcast. So after 4 years of going, why do I do this? I went, can I have a different month for my birthday?
And the answer was yes.
Yes.
Why next month, though?
It's because 6 months.
It's a half birthday.
It's on birthday.
Yeah. And it was one of the ones that wasn't assigned something already.
Yeah.
Oh.
So. Any who's your what's her. I have some things in mind.
Oh, no.
Was leaning toward. Sorry. So my thought process was, years ago I did the worst movie of 76, which is the year I was born. So this time I looked up the worst movie of 1994. But that was North, and I don't want to watch that movie.
No.
So I was like, no. But Reality Bites also came out that year. But that movie also pissed me off when I watched it the first time. And I was supposed to connect to those characters. So I feel like if I hated them when I was supposed to connect to them, now with age and wisdom, I'm really going to hate them. So I don't think I want to do that either. Troy mentioned that I had talked about Empire Records. Which I do actually kind of like that movie. But I also haven't seen it since...
It's birthday month. She can do whatever she wants.
That's right. But I haven't seen it since it was new.
I've never seen it.
It could be not, you know, it could be the 5,000 fingers of Mr. whatever. Like, but I thought it was okay, but then it wasn't.
Empire Records is 95.
Oh, sure. I know. I got, once I realized that my choices were North or Reality Bites, I was like, next, new idea.
What was the next year?
Yeah, exactly. And then I also did consider the worst movie of 2009 because I didn't get to do anything in 2009 because I was pregnant and throwing up the whole year.
Yeah, thanks, Millie.
So, you're welcome. Yeah. At least you have something funny.
I did get a prize at the end of the year, but...
Oh, what do we get?
Yeah.
What do you mean, what do you get? I'm sitting right next to you.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I got to stop throwing up. That's what I got.
I have never been more offended in my entire life.
Oh, wait, no. You were just so offended that they skipped your part in the Annie movie that we watched last night.
Well,
yeah.
I'm offended by this too, mother.
We have a lot more life to live and to get more offended.
Yeah, for sure. Right. So the worst movie of 2009 was Without a Paddle.
Oh.
With Dax Shepard, Matthew Lillard, Seth Green,
yeah.
Three gentlemen that I like a lot. Mm-hmm. Though I do think this is going to be kind of one of those poop and fart joke boy comedy movies.
Yeah.
So
God. What little I remember about that movie
do
is
I want
a bunch
to
of
do that?
Poop and fart. Yeah.
And then we started looking at other movies that were like nostalgia kind of thing. And we landed on two. For kind of the same reason. One being Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Ooh.
Because I made the eat your heart with a spoon joke or dig your heart out with a spoon joke the other day. And Millie didn't get it because she doesn't see the movie. And then...
I'm uncultured.
But Alan Rickman is, you
Give
know...
Give me time.
Mm,
yes.
So then Troy suggested Quigley Down Under, which I haven't seen... But Alan Rickman is also in that.
Mm.
As
and Tom
is
Selleck's mustache.
Tom Selleck.
And Tom Selleck's mustache.
Right. And Tom Selleck's mustache. So, and Troy has been trying to get me to watch that movie literally since we met.
Oh.
Like, he brings it up every couple of years. He's like, have you ever seen Quigley Down Under? And I go.
And she's like, he told me about this before. I'm like, I did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's Tom Selleck in a special
years
rifle.
Ago.
Right. That's right.
Yes, and it's on Australia, right?
Yes, it's in Australia, yeah.
Wow, really?
So
never would have guessed.
I kind of feel like that's the one I'm going to pick, to be honest with you. I may save Empire Records for another time.
Okay, all right.
Just, you know, don't make me explain my art to you, Warren.
Are we marking it down in pen?
Yeah.
Quigley Down Under, really?
Yeah, unless I look up and find out that it is impossible to find to
fair.
Watch.
That's fair.
Okay.
And then if that's the case, then I will come on the socials and say,
well,
pause, hold, stop.
I'll find it somewhere.
So.
The library.
So, yeah, that's, I'm going to go with it.
At worst, at the library.
Quigley Down Under.
Okay, Quigley Down Under. There we go.
I haven't seen it, so.
Not to be confused with a less popular sequel, Quigley Up Over.
Well done, Dave. I like that.
Yes.
My dad would have told that joke.
Yes.
I'm going to die alone.
All right. So Quigley Down Under, unless we can't find it. I guess that's it. Thanks for stopping by. And until next time.
Bye.
That works for me.
Terrible.
That was Troy's ass, by the way.
Did it sound good?
I heard it, that's for sure.
With my butt.
Stop being weird.
Yes.
He's going to be an old man in the retirement home and be like, back in my day, the internet came in the mail.
It's funny because it's true.
Here we are.
Oh, yes.
Born from a cow.
I'm right.
Yes.
About what?
About
Kolsch? Never not going to be funny.
Nope.
I got a frog in my throat.
Frog. Eat my frog, Randy. Sorry.
It will save everyone of us.
Stop playing with it. Yeah.